Chapter 3, The White Man's World, Empire and Imperialism. The way in which the world order of 1901 is most obviously different from both that of 1801 and that of our own day is the extent to which its fate either was or appeared to be in the hands of what were called white peoples. The globe's land surface was for the most part in the outright physical and legal possession of European nations or their overseas offshoots. New nations like Canada or Australia, or of yet older offspring of empires such as the American republics, North and South. Non-Western independent states, based on their own historic institutions, took up much less of the world's inhabited lands, even allowing for the huge size of China. Japan was a serious and viable contender for her own independence, and provided an example of non-white overseas imperialism on the mainland of Asia and in Formosa. Korea, Siam, Afghanistan, and Persia were nominally independent, but all owed their survival less to their own strength and viability than to their position and utility as historic buffers between territory occupied by imperial overlords. These overlords were sometimes menacing neighbours. They were all European, except in Korea, though there the nominal suzerainty of China was largely ignored by the Russians and the Japanese. In Africa, north of the Zambezi, only Liberia and Ethiopia had escaped direct rule or protection by Europeans. Morocco, independent, but looking temptingly disordered as the century began, was seen as an area of great potential for expansion by both Spain and France. In southern Africa, two independent republics, both dominated by European stocks and settlement, were just surviving in 1901, though about to go under in their war with Great Britain. The South African Republic, usually known as the Transvaal, and the Orange Free State. Imperial high-handedness was soon to be shown again, too, in a new vigour of interference in the affairs of its Caribbean neighbours by the United States. Great empires were the most spectacular features of the world's political landscape in 1901. They divided between themselves most of its land surface. They were of two kinds, old agglomerations of largely contiguous...